Welcome to Christmas at Blackhawk. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Blackhawk. It's so good to be in this room with you here at the Brader Way site. And welcome those of you who are joining us across the hall in the gallery venue or Traditions. And those of you who are joining us at Fitchburg, those of you joining us downtown at the Upper House, welcome to everybody at all sites and all venues. Remember, on January 1st, we have no services at any of our sites or any of our venues. It's worship where you are. And on that day, we will start this new series called Love This Book. Love This Book is kind of our way of going through the Bible in a year. The Bible is a difficult book to understand, and what we're going to try to do is kind of go slowly through some of the highlights of the Bible as we go through Love This Book. Thanks for joining us for Christmas at Blackhawk and making that a part of your holiday tradition. I know many of us have all kinds of traditions, and more people are selecting the idea of coming to Blackhawk to be a part of their tradition. So we just really appreciate you guys being here on this day. My wife and I have lots of different kinds of traditions. Let me share a couple of them with you, what we do this time of the year. One of our traditions is this. We like to kind of ring the bells for Salvation Army. So every year we go to the mall, and we're kind of cowards, so we choose a spot inside the mall instead of outside the mall. And so we go to like the JCPenney's, where JCPenney's, you know, like enters the mall area. If you're familiar with that area, then there's a children's play area like right there. How many of you know what I'm talking about in West Elmo? Yeah. So that's our station. So we go there, and this year when we went there, something different happened. There were no bells to ring. So it's like, how can we ring the bells when there's no bells? So somebody had like run off with the bells or something like that. I don't know. But I pulled out my my smartphone, and I kind of went to some different apps, and I found this app right here, and it's basically like a jingle bell app. So I started ringing. Can you guys hear that? I started ringing like this. Well, all those kids are kind of watching me. They're seeing me do this with my phone and making that sound. And so all these kids started coming over. Of course, their parents came too. We raised a lot of money for Salvation Army right there, man. It was like awesome. We had a great time with that. So that's one of our traditions. We do that every year. Another tradition that we have is that we like to sit down and watch some of the cool Christmas movies that are this time of the year. And I thought I'd show a clip from one of our favorite movies. Maybe you've seen this movie before. Watch this. Yeah, that's from the 2003 movie Elf. That's one of our favorites. How many of you have seen Elf before? Raise your hands. Yeah, I love that movie. Those are two of our traditions. We ring bells for Salvation Army and we watch movies, but we have all kinds of different traditions at this time of the year. Here's what I'd like to do at all sites and all venues. I'd like us to stand up right now and share, introduce yourself to the person sitting next to you and share like one of your favorite traditions, favorite thing you'd like to eat, a favorite movie, favorite thing you like to do at this time of the year. Listen, for all the introverts who are going, oh, I don't want to do that. Look under your chair for some gum. There might be some gum there for you. Everybody stand up. Greet one another, share traditions. All over town, be shining your umbrella. Is up, upside down, and trading for a package of sunshine. We're having too much fun. All right. Oh, awesome. Okay. Lots and lots of fun traditions. Lots of fun traditions. But we're smart people, so we know that really there's a kind of a religious reason behind all of these traditions. At the very root, for some traditions, you got to go dig way down to find some religious meaning to anything. But we all kind of figure there is another reason, which causes me to ask this question. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Well, the answer to that is because it's Jesus's birthday. As the worship leader read earlier, this passage from Luke's very famous passage this time of the year. We read this in Luke 2. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Well, because it's Jesus' birthday. But that causes me to ask another question, a little deeper question, and that question is this. Why was he born? Now, at this point, many of us who kind of like have grown up in church and have been to church a lot go, oh yeah, I know where he's going now. He's going to get to like the deep meaning of like why he was born. And many of us think, oh, we know the answer to that. We totally know the answer to that. But I'm going to push back for a second because I think probably you don't. Let me put it a different way. I think if you went up to Jesus and you said, why were you born? I think the answer that he would give onto why he was born and why he came into the world would be something different than you would actually say, even though you've like been to church and Sunday school and stuff like that. There was a time when Jesus actually had a conversation with someone, and it's the only time in the Bible that I know where he ever spoke of his own birth. And what Jesus said and how we fill that blank in, I think most of us wouldn't get the answer right at all. This is what Jesus said. He said, the reason I was born and came into the world is to, how would you fill that in? See, what I'm saying here in this talk is that I think most of us who are Christ followers, we wouldn't fill that in the way, at least the way Jesus would fill it in. We might say something like this, to save the world, to show God's love for the world, to die on a cross, to bring people to God. All those are really good answers, the kind of answers you learn at church, the kind of answers you learn at Sunday school. But that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say any of those things. There's only one time when Jesus himself actually speaks to his own birth and why he came into the world. He didn't say any of those things. This is what he said. The reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Well, that's interesting. What does that mean? To answer that question, we have to know kind of when he said that and who he was talking to. There's a 19th century Russian artist named Nikolai Gay who painted this scene of that conversation. Who is that there? The person who looks humble and is in the background, well, that's Jesus. But the man there who's kind of pointing at him, his name is, do you know? That's Pilate. This is the very end of Jesus' life. This is just a couple of hours before Pilate actually has Jesus executed. It's right before his death that Jesus talks about his birth. And he says, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. What does that mean? That's what we're going to talk about. Take your Bibles. Turn to John chapter 18. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We're going to put this passage on the screen. The context here is that this is the end of Jesus' life. Jesus has been turned over by his own people, the Jewish people, to the Roman authorities, and Pilate, who is in that picture, he's like the governor. He's in charge of that Roman area in Judea. And it's a scene where Pilate and Jesus are just by themselves, and then there's this conversation. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priest handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, and here's that place. The reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. Then Pilate basically knows the custom of the Jewish people, and he knows that he can kind of do a swap with one prisoner and another, and he has this prisoner named Barabbas, and he asks the crowd, do you want Jesus or Barabbas? And they say, Barabbas. And so Pilate has Jesus crucified on a Roman execution device that we call a cross. Today we turn crosses into pieces of jewelry or we tattoo them on our bodies. Back in those days, of course, they wouldn't have done anything like that. Because if you saw a cross back in those days, it reminded you of a horrible way to die. If you saw a cross, you'd probably throw up. That's the only time Jesus ever talks about his own birth. He says, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, in that context, it kind of just jumps out. He's talking to another leader about a kingdom. He says, are you a king? You got a kingdom? And he says, basically, my kingdom is not of this place. I am a king, but I'm a different kind of king. And I have a different kind of kingdom. That's what he's testifying about. He's a different kind of king. He's a different kind of kingdom. It's ironic that the people remember that scene not by what Jesus says, but by what Pilate says. Pilate asks the question, what is truth? And then do you notice in the passage, he then turns and walks away. A lot of people ask questions about truth, but they don't hang around long enough to really have a discussion about it. And that's exactly what Pilate did. Some people have their own preconceived ideas of what is true. Some people today believe that the only things that you really can prove that are true are things you can prove in a scientific laboratory. If you can't prove it by science, well, it's not true. Man, I have nothing against science. When I was an undergraduate, my major was biology, my minor was chemistry. I love science. It's fantastic. But just because you can boil something at a certain temperature, at a certain pressure, at a certain elevation, by those same kind of methods, you can't determine necessarily what is true about all kinds of things, like human dignity, justice, love. All of us believe things are true that we cannot prove in a scientific classroom. There's an interesting plaque on campus, and it's kind of right in the center of campus. I find that very interesting. It's on this building here. It's called South Hall. It's Bascom Hill. If you're familiar with the UW campus, the center is Bascom Hill. And if you can see on South Hall there, there is a plaque on that corner. And if you get close to that plaque, this is what that plaque says. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. On campus, there's a lot of questions about truth. And for many people, the idea of truth is the idea that you determine what's true, and you determine what's true for you might not be true for me. What's true for you might not be true for me. That's the idea of truth. That's not what that passage is about at all. In context, that's a quote from Jesus. Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus doesn't believe the truth is something that we, as individuals, determine on our own. He's saying it's something that you discover when you follow me. Christians don't just believe that truth is propositional. We actually believe it's a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? He's a different kind of king. He has a different kind of kingdom. He has a different kind of truth. The only time Jesus ever spoke about his birth, he said, I came into this world to testify to the truth. What he meant by that is that I'm a different kind of king, and I represent a different kind of kingdom. He's a different kind of king. This king wins by losing. Very strange. Most kings win by winning, you know? You like power up over someone. But you notice that picture that Gay had, you know, it's... He's the humble one back there. He's the one who is losing. When he was nailed to that Roman execution device, no one would have walked by that hill and said, oh, look at the winner. No, everybody would have said, he just lost. He lost his life. He wins by losing. He wins our salvation by losing his own life. Different kind of king. I don't know anybody who celebrates Pilate's birthday. Different kind of kingdom. This kind of kingdom is not the kind of kingdom you enter if you're really good and you're really righteous and you do all kinds of things. His kind of kingdom turns religion on its head. Religion says that if I'm good and if I'm obedient, then perhaps God will accept me. If I do good things, if I'm really good, maybe God will accept me. That's a kind of a normal thing that we live with in our world today. If you want to achieve anything, you've got to do good and earn it. But he has a different kind of kingdom. Turns that upside down. His kingdom is basically, I accept you based upon what the king has done for other people. When you believe that the king has died for you and you enter into his kingdom, it's a different kind of king. It's a different kind of kingdom. Of course, it's weird to us, but the angels knew all this. That's why they were so excited. And that's why they were saying to those shepherds in that field that night, this is a great, great night. The angel Gabriel said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Messiah is a Jewish way of saying the anointed one. He's talking about the fact that now Jesus is the King. Why do we celebrate Christmas? It's the birth of Jesus, who is the King. He's a different kind of king. He brings a different kind of kingdom. Are we a different kind of people? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all of our traditions. They're so much fun. And some of them are pretty fattening too. We thank you, Father, for great movies and funny times and for fattening food. We thank you, Father, that we can gather together with family and rejoice and have a great time. But we thank you too, Father, that we can set apart some of our time and remember that there's a deeper meaning, deeper truth behind all these things. And it's about your love and your grace and your mercy. We can't imagine being born in a stable, having our mothers kind of lay us down in a feeding trough. We just can't imagine that. But you're different. You sent a different kind of king to inaugurate a different kind of kingdom. We pray, Father, you'd help us to be a different kind of people. We pray this in Christ's name. For the sake of his reputation, all God's people said.